All right, Ticket Texter says, I think what rubbed fans the wrong way was the TV footage of the two coaches being friendly with one another before the game, Tom in a car. Talking Fallout Michigan, Michigan State. We talked Jonathan Smith. Is it fair criticism that he didn't understand the rivalry enough? John and I say, no, that's ridiculous. They came out ready to play.
So they're supposed to put on an act that, well, I just don't like you because you coach for that team?
I wouldn't say we fought about it, but Valenti and I talked about it on the podcast. I said, what, do you want scowls? You want D'Antonio? You want...
The Mel Tucker mean pictures with his dog smoking a cigar before the game?
I think Jonathan Smith is who he is. He is not this like angry, yelling coach. That doesn't mean he doesn't care about the rivalry. Anyway, Sharon Moore, the other side of this coin. Okay, Michigan wins the game, and it doesn't save their season. They're still going to fight to make a bowl game. Does it restore any faith in Sharon? And the second part of that question is, what do you still need to see? Because I know Michigan fans aren't all the way bought in after that win. John, what do you think?
Well, I think they were pleased to see some progress from Davis Warren, and nobody's sitting there going, well, Davis Warren is the quarterback of the future. And I don't think anybody is sitting there saying Alex Orji is the quarterback of the future. But I think looking at the game plan, how both were utilized, and they didn't take Davis Warren out of his rhythm as a passing quarterback or operating the offense when they put Alex Orji in. They did it. I actually thought they were going to do it more. Listening to Sharon Moore before, you know, the week leading up to it, he said he was going to play a significant amount. I don't know if, you know, what six runs is a significant amount, but I thought that they did a nice job of developing the game plan. And it was the first time in the second half where I felt like there was a rhythm to the offense. Like they were actually doing things to set up plays that they wanted to run two, three, four down the road. I had never seen that from this Michigan offense to this point. Like there's been no structure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt like maybe they finally found a rhythm offensively using the two quarterbacks. And I think you and I both agree, we don't like the two quarterback system, but if that's what you got to do to win a game, then do it. And I thought that they operated well. The question then is, did it restore any faith that Sharon Moore will get it right? It's not right this year. It's not going to get right this year. He's going to have to hit the transfer portal. He's going to have to own the transfer portal for O-line. I mean, for a lot of different parts of the team, because the talent that he does have this year, a lot of it will be in the draft and won't be back next year. So you're not going to have a Will Johnson, I would assume. Yeah. You're not going to have a Mason Graham or a Kenneth Grant or a Colston Loveland. Now, the tight end position is pretty stacked. Mm-hmm. Hogan Hansen is pretty good. They've got a lot of talent there. But you're going to have to find talent, you know, at almost every position in the transfer portal. Sharon Moore is a good recruiter coming out of high school. Do you believe he'll be a guy that will be good in the transfer portal? Because at no point in college football history are you able to change the trajectory of a program quicker than you can now.
Yeah, I thought it was encouraging that the quarterbacks seem to be set up for success. I mean, they are what they are, right? When I saw it was Davis Warren, I go, oh boy. And I think you knew even before I did, but I'm going, oh boy. Yeah. And they had him with safe completions early. Now, he missed some stuff. He is still Davis Warren, but he didn't turn the ball over, which is a huge win for him.
Well,
and he had a couple nice throws when he needed to.
And the misses were more in the second half. He missed the first pass of the game, but then he completed 10 in a row. And it wasn't until like completion 6 or 7 where it was actually passed.
Yeah, I know. But it felt like they knew what they were working with. They were going to make the most of what they were working with. And I think it's incumbent on them this offseason to be working with more next season. Yeah. And there's an advantage. This is such a silver lining. Because they're bad, they're going to get to go at the front of the buffet line.
To the portal.
Yeah. They're going to go to the portal and they're going to say, I want some lobster. I want some steak. I'm going to come up for seconds and thirds, as opposed to last year when they could have done a better job, but the buffet line had already been picked through a little bit. It's going to have to be an aggressive offseason for them. It may mean coaching staff changes. I have not been overly impressed with Kurt Campbell. Wink Martindale, I don't know if he's a college coach long term, and certainly his defense has disappointed this season. Does Sharon make a tough call on one or both coordinators? Does he bring in a quarterback and a coordinator combo meal? We see more of that in college football. I'm not giving you anything specific, but I am curious to see how he reflects on this year afterwards and can try to make more wholesale changes. In the moment, They got to win the Northwestern game to get to a bowl game. I don't expect them to beat Oregon or Ohio State or even Indiana. How they look in those games,
yeah,
that will matter for perception. There's no moral victory, but perception for the program. You can't lose by 35 to Ohio State. You can't lose by 28 to Oregon this week.
So, yeah, here's what you need to see in the Oregon game. It needs to look better playing against Oregon than you looked against Texas. So that there is a way to show, okay, it feels like you are improving as a program. There is actual development. There's actual coaching going on. And nobody, you know, take the line aside. I don't even know what it is right now. No one is going to pick Michigan to win outright against Oregon coming to town. Okay, yeah, I'm probably not picking either.
Yeah.
But how do they look compared to how they looked against Texas when they play Ohio State at the end? And I know it's a rivalry and all that stuff, but how do they play in that game on the road in Columbus versus how they played at home against Texas and Oregon?
Some ticket text, 248-539-9797. This win restores zero of my faith in the Michigan coaching staff. Wink Martindale and Sharon Moore both need to be fired. Says, unfortunately, won't happen until the NCAA crap is over. Michigan will continue to be terrible for the next couple years, Drew in Woodhaven.
Well, if you don't believe he's going to do anything in the portal, that would be the assumption.
But we saw Ohio State hit the portal heavy to try to get back into the title picture.
Yeah.
I think Michigan will have to be unafraid and do, and I don't know, John, I don't know the financials. I don't know if they're going to throw $20 million. The point is it's going to have to be an aggressive offseason for Michigan because this is not acceptable. This is nowhere close to acceptable. 6-7 wins is 3-4 wins from acceptable.
Well, and here's the difference between Michigan hitting the portal and Ohio State. Ohio State hit the portal hard because, yeah, Alabama was seeing a coaching change. They picked up a number of different players from really good programs that were seeing a little bit of a turnover. But they were adding to a really good base of talent. Michigan is going to have a lot of wholesale change.
Ticket texter says, Spartan here. Big fan of Jonathan Smith. I do think he understands the rivalry. We lost because of poor execution. However, I can't help but wonder if Cignetti would have been the better hire. I think both Michigan and Michigan State could ask that question. He's done such a remarkable job at Indiana of all places.
Yeah, I just, before I jump all over, I think Cignetti has done a really, really nice job in Bloomington. I need to see a full season and maybe even a second season because he did the same thing. He hit the transfer portal hard.
Brought a lot of his JMU guys.
Yeah. But I need to see him play against some, I want to see what he looks like against Ohio State. All right, play the big boys.
They're still off to their best start in like 50, 60 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's regardless.
It's crazy.
Yeah. If they only won like another game this season, it'd still be one of the greatest seasons in Indiana football history. And I think they're going to win a couple games, still get the 10 wins and be in that conversation to be a playoff team.
Does 10 wins get them in? It's a Big Ten team with only two losses.
I think they'll be favored in all but one game the rest of the way. That's 11-1. And I think they got a shot against Ohio State. As silly as that sounds, I do. I don't think very highly of this Buckeye team. And I do think highly of Indiana. They'll have a puncher's chance in that game.
I need to see it to believe. That's one I've got to see to believe.
Okay. Ticket texters, 248-539-9797 with some of their thoughts. This one says, Jonathan Smith literally said he now understands how big the rivalry is, which means he didn't fully know what to expect. Says, I'd still take Jonathan Smith over Coach Moore any day. Go green. Ticket texter says, Smith actually understood the rivalry too much. He knew he had to come in and run the football and win the battle of the line of scrimmage, and they did. The problem is they didn't do the other stuff. They didn't make enough plays in their passing game. They gave up too many plays in the passing game on play action. Yeah, it's an interesting read that he was too dialed in. People probably told him, if you win the rushing battle, you're winning the football game. And he's looking around going, what gives, guys? I won the rushing battle. You guys told me that's all I had to do.
With the way that they came out, though, and dominated the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, I find it very hard to believe that he didn't have his team ready. Now, you could say error in game plan. They didn't throw the ball enough against Michigan secondary, minus Will Johnson. Even if Will Johnson was there, they have really struggled against the pass. And I he's not the quarterback. The quarterback ultimately fumbled the ball one time. I thought Inchales played a good game, but he made a mistake in that moment. And he's also not the kicker. And No Kim is a good kicker.
Let's get to Josh in Royal Oak. Josh, you're on 97.1.
Hey, fellas. What's going on?
Good.
Hey, what's up?
Good. So, just want to say, I'm a huge Michigan fan, but I want to give Jonathan Smith his props. You know, $95 million Mel left that program at basically in shambles, and he's came in and he brings a sense of character, right? Like he like you said, you can build around him, and he's going to do, it's going to take a couple years, but he's going to get there, and I give him all the props for that. As for Sharon, you know, I'm happy we beat, you know, Sparty, and the thing that I think, you know, that hits Sharon the hardest is you're coming off of a national championship, right? You're at the height that you're at, you're looking the eye of expectation, you know, right in the center of it. And what you got to realize is, you know, they expected everyone to lose 1-2 games, you know, 12-team playoff. They probably have a good chance to get a last spot. And then it hits you. You know, reality sets in. You know, you lose guys to the draft. You bring in new coordinators. And I think the Illinois game really lit a fire under him. And hopefully that kind of changes the way he looks at things as a first-year head coach. And, you know, now he'll be able to finish out the season, pretty much hopefully make a bowl game, but if not, win another game or two if they can. And then really have this whole offseason to start rebuilding the team the way he would like.
Yeah, again, he's not going to get fired. I would be shocked. I don't think he's going to get fired this season. So it really does become a self-reflection this offseason of how to get Michigan at least close to where they were when he took over. I mean, the standard is, he knows this. We talked about it with him. Yeah. Standards are high at Michigan. Nobody thinks this is acceptable.
And the standard's playoff. I mean, yeah. Especially with 12 teams now.
Yes.
The standard is always going to be you must be a playoff team.
And I feel like that should be the expectation next season, not to do radio for 6 months from now. But yeah, the expectation is going to be have the offseason that puts you in the position to where you're a playoff team next year.